311. Good afternoon. Welcome to the 311 radio show with the Barbados Fire Service right here on VOB 92.9 FM. Trust you've been having a great Sunday so far. And we thank you so much for being with us as you are every Sunday at this time to hear the 311 radio show. I'm Krista J. Paul, and today we have Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Natasha Ford.
Hi, and a pleasant good afternoon to each and every one of you.
And we have Fire and Life Safety Officer Jason Collins.
Hi, good afternoon, Barbados.
All right, how are you both doing?
I'm fantastic, thank you. Knowing that today is what? Another day in the land of the living. So Amen. Much to be grateful for.
True.
So I'm just enjoying.
That's good, yeah, that's good.
Pretty good myself.
All right, that's good. Pause. Oh, all right. That's good. You know what? Especially in these times with so much happening and we see that there's so much calamity and, you know, yes, there are house fires and so much tragedy around the world. We have to give thanks for when we are alive and we know that there is a purpose for us still being alive. So,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So we're discussing a few things today. I can't believe it's already... What's this? The second Sunday in August. Yeah. And the time is just going by really, really quickly. We are in just about the middle of the hurricane season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we want to continue to urge people to keep up the hurricane safety precautions. We're not out of the woods yet. We experienced a little taste of what is possible. And, you know, we want to continue to encourage people to stock up. And, you know, every year, Officer Ford, you encourage people to buy a tin of tuna, a tin of sardines, a tin of corned beef, you know, one, so that we can be stocked up when it's time. So
Definitely. Yes. And if you said that this was just a little taste, I'm telling you, whoever got the whole pot, keep it.
That's right.
It's not a good taste. It was not a good feeling. And as I keep saying, we don't want anything like that. But if it should occur, and there's nothing that we can do, at least we've been preparing, we've been saving up these canned goods, the non-perishable items. We're not overstocking our fridge at this point in time. We're storing our water. We're making sure that our personal documents are in a sealed bag, in a sealed container, you know, because we don't want to go through the hassle of having to go and reapply for these things. And you have them already, do everything you can to safeguard them.
Yes.
Try everything you can to safeguard yourself, safeguard your home. Those persons who've been thinking about insurance but have not committed to it, probably at this point in time, it is a good choice to have it, which leads us then into our first topic. We've had two house fires thus far this week. One of the homes, thankfully, was insured. This was the home of the pensioner, call it as it is. He saw the need for the insurance. When I heard him speak on the air, I was so glad to hear, you know, he said, somebody came over, being your brother's keeper, somebody came over. He was asleep.
Yes.
This story could have gone so different. We know because we've seen it before. We've had persons who would have perished in house fires. And that's why we can't stop stressing the importance of having a smoke alarm. If your neighbor was one that didn't used to speak to you, like probably Jason would, he would see his house, the smoke coming and just sit down there, probably get marshmallows, have a bonfire. But I mean, at this point in time, we're glad that persons are still mindful. And when things happen, you know, we become our brother's keeper again. But I think the best person to protect you, you should be yourself.
Yes.
I'm not saying that you shouldn't have your neighbors, you shouldn't depend on them. But what are you doing now? What are you putting in place? Again, we talk about the smoke alarm. And that's the head reason. If you're asleep at night, at home, or wherever, and that alarm goes off, the chirp is so loud. There is no way that you do not hear that unless you are comatose. So you need to protect yourself as we stock up for the hurricane season. Bear in mind, it said the hurricane season. And we said that is between July and November.
July, November,
does
yeah.
not have a season.
True.
Fire is all year round. And we are seeing that over and over. Fire doesn't stop for anything. We are living in a pandemic right now. It has not said, you know what? I recognize things are not easy in the economy. I recognize that you're out of work. I recognize you're a pensioner or this. It does not look for an excuse. It does what it needs to do. And many times, as we said, persons concentrate so much on valuables. They're concerned about persons, thiefing, we call it what it is. We ain't gonna use the correct word, stealing.
Stealing.
It's not major, the thiefing.
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 T-I-E-F-I-N-G.
Persons thiefing things from them. And my great grandmother would always say, a thief will take some. But at the end of the day, a fire carries whatever in it have. So if you decide to try to be the wall between the fire and the neighbor's house, goodbye to you. Whatever is between there, it will consume. It will become fuel for the fire. And it just keeps going and going until the chemical chain reaction has been interrupted.
Yes, yes. Well, you know what? Better safe than sorry. Better to have it and not need it than to need it and not have it. And, you know, we always think that I'm okay. This can't happen to me. You know, this happens to other people. I take all the safety precautions. But then even when you take the safety precautions, you still have to guard yourself because you never know how a fire can begin. You know, even if you unplug, you still need to have your smoke alarms and your fire extinguishers in place because you just never know. You just never know.
It's sometimes as simple as, all right, I may be doing everything I can to protect my home, but I'm living in close proximity to Jason. Jason is alcoholic, coming home drunk every Friday and Saturday, putting things on to the stove, going laying down, sleeping. I mean, if you check Jason's kitchen, you see all the charred marks. And at the end of it all, he doesn't care. He's just living his life. But what I'm trying for you to understand is his behavior can impact on me still.
That's right. That's right.
So one of the things that I can probably, I can't get to the room to break it or throw it away. So I can offer Jason a gift of an alarm. If I know that alarm starts to go off, well, or I hear that alarm starting to go off, one, I can check on Jason to make sure that he is okay. Again, as I said, if you're living in close proximity to each other.
Yes.
I could check on Jason to make sure that he is okay. Apart from that, it means then if something is going, it gets me up that I can check my surroundings to make sure that everything is okay. So if I need to put hose onto the pipe and start soaking down and wetting down and whatever else, it gives me a little more time to react.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's ironic that she mentioned that because somebody that was near the fire had sent me a message. The first time, the two of them, and they had said to me that a lot of the neighbors didn't seem to have any hose, and how important it is to have always have at least a hose, a little garden hose around your house, because at least once you catch the fire in the initial stages before it gets out of hand, you can still at least, you know, try to do something. If you don't have an extinguisher, you have a garden hose or something like that, you can still help wet down until the fire service arrives or something like that. But she was saying to me that a number of persons didn't seem to have garden hose or whatever have you, you know, and you know, that's just one of the things that when you're going to buy or you can stock and so on, you could consider. And I think everybody should have one though, because after the ash fall, everybody went and bought all the hoses that characters and all the
they're sold out.
Exactly. I think the day after, I went into one of the hardware stores and they said they were all out. So,
washers.
I think people after that incident alone would have invested in a number of hoses. And it's always a good thing to have around because it can all be used for different things. But more importantly, if you have an emergency situation as it relates to fire and you have to use it as an initial until the fire service arrives or whatever, it may help save your house. You know, it may even stop the fire from growing and getting bigger and becoming worse.
But in the case of an electrical fire, how would you advise people to treat with that?
Well, before we see anything else, you're not going to use water.
That's the
right. If anybody at all listening, anybody that can hear my voice right now, you're definitely not going to use water because it's an electrical fire. And that's why we always encourage as well to have a fire extinguisher in your home and the correct fire extinguisher. You can have CO2, which is carbon dioxide. the ABC as first as we see, which is the more popular one that a lot of people go and buy because it is a little cheaper. It will extinguish your electrical fire. However, media that comes out of it, which is a powdered substance, is extremely corrosive to your electrical equipment. So it is better to have the CO2, which is the carbon dioxide fire extinguisher, if you encounter an electrical fire in your home. And always remember, and I keep saying to people, a fire extinguisher is only for small fires. So once you catch that fire in its initial stages, fine, you can use that extinguisher to try to extinguish that fire. If it is a case where you wake up and find the place well alight, it is past the extinguisher stage, your duty is to get out and call the fire service. And as I am on that topic of calling the fire service, I also want to add that that's something that we take for granted. You wake up after midnight, whatever time it is, you see a house on fire, you see an accident scene, and everybody's out, everybody's phone is out, and we're taking pictures, we're taking video, and when you listen or you watch back some of the footage, you hear a lot of people having all kinds of comments, but they're taking very long, all of these different things. The question is, did you or did anyone around call the Barbados Fire Service?
Right.
And let me say this to the public. No business or home in Barbados is connected to the Barbados Fire Service. We have no connection to anyone, any line or anything like that to any business or homeowner in this country.
Repeat that.
I was told to repeat it. The Barbados Fire Service has no line, no connection to any home or business owner in this country. If you do not call 311, your truck will not come. It is as simple as that. You have to call the emergency number so that we are aware that there is an incident, whether it is a fire, whether it is an accident, a rescue, whatever the case may be. The only time help will come to you is if you call for it. If it's a situation where something happens outside of a fire station that we can see,
right,
generally the guys will respond or whatever have you. Somebody may run across the station and say, well, something over here happened, whatever. Mm-hmm. If, however, you are wherever and you're not near a fire station, the only way we are going to be aware that there's an emergency is if someone calls 311. And too often we hear, oh, the truck took so long to come. My question to people, did somebody call the fire service? Sometimes when you go back and you trace back the same incident, you realize that persons will say the fire started at time X, but you trace back the call, you realize the call came in 20 minutes after the
yes.
incident started. Yep. And then the fire service is given the brunt of that blame, or oh, they took long. Not that they took long, you took long to
make that call.
And right. that initial call is very important. Even if you are using a fire extinguisher to try to initially stop a fire from spreading, or you're offering any sort of first aid care, while you're doing that, somebody else should be calling the fire service. When you take up that fire extinguisher and you show fire to alert other people that there's a fire in the surrounding area, you should also allow someone to know, look, somebody call 311. Get that message out there so that while you're trying to extinguish the fire, somebody else is doing their part in trying to call for additional assistance.
And keeping it with what Jason is saying, the reason for telling some person or designating some person to call 311 is because when there is an emergency, when there is an incident, persons become so focused on what is going on. Some persons are in shock. There are other reasons. And persons tend to forget, as simple as the number may sound, persons tend to forget. So by designating some person, and I mean, you just say, you know, you call 311 and get back to me. That is something that we also use when we're doing CPR. You know, if you witness CPR or whatever the case, some person in cardiac arrest, that is one of the chances of survival. You designate some person to call the emergency number and get back to them, which would be the number for the ambulance. So don't just say call the fire service. I think that's what I'm trying to emphasize. Don't say just call police. Give the person the number, call 311, call 211, because they're in times like when people become so panicked, 9 seems like a 2, 3 seems like a 9. People don't remember the numbers, yes. They don't remember the order. So by doing that, what you also do is minimize some of the time persons making that human error. And, you know, you having to call police. If you call number for police, you have to give over information. That is critical time that you could have just been dealing directly with the fire service. Mm-hmm. So when you're going to do that, just remember, tell the persons who it is that you want. Tell them the number you want them to dial. Again, We had the incident, there was a fire, and when Jason was just explaining that, it brought back to mind this lady, she was there, I mean, well ahead of time, it seemed. She got this thing from, like, I would say the inception. And you could hear her throughout this video. And then when somebody trying to say, wait, so anybody called, you called the fire service? Oh. No, I just get us and they start filming. And it's like, do you understand? Had you made that initial call, it could have been a totally different story. Right. I always say you need to put ourselves in other people's shoes. How would you feel if you were in that situation? Is it a case that you want people to be filming, or do you want somebody to be calling, requesting help on your behalf? Call, get the help. You're not going to miss anything much. At the end of the day, I don't think you get any awards or anything for these videos when they're posted.
That's right.
I'm not sure if there's a stipend or anything attached to it, but at the end of the day, think about the person who's now lost their home, they've lost a vehicle, they've lost something that meant something to them, how they are going to be feeling. And ask yourself, how could I have intervened within this chain? What could I have done differently in order to mitigate the circumstances?
And think maybe
that's where we see a lot of selfish nature. I'm not saying you cannot take, believe you me, some of these videos come in quite handy for us when we have our training sessions. Okay. So I'm not knocking the videos. All I'm asking persons to do is when something happens, call the emergency numbers, let persons know what is going on, and then you can go back to your filming. That's it.
And it all goes up, as Ford just said, be your brother's keeper. We've said it, I don't know how many times on this program. You know, you got to look out for each other. It's not about, yes, you want to get your little footage or whatever. By the end of the day, you have to think about the person who's going through the distress or whatever it is at that point in time. Another reminder to the public, to things like simple things. Get a note and stick on the, if you have the thing phone, the hand-free one, instead of the actual landline, stick a note on your phone. Emergency numbers.
Yes.
Stick a note on your phone, because some people forget. Some people have it on their fridges. Stick a note where the different numbers, so that anytime something happens and you can't remember the number, you just pick up that phone and look at it and you can see the different numbers. That's a way to help yourself, so that in an emergency situation, you don't panic.
Right.
Or even if you do panic, at least you have the numbers right there to hand. Simple things like that can save you and save your family and your friends, etc.
That's true. But I'm glad we're reinforcing the point of just riveting it right in, because it's so important. I asked earlier about the electrical fire because of a situation where early in the morning, you know, the cables from the poles are started to gash. And you know, one neighbor would have come out and he was saying he's sorry he didn't have his hose to, you know, just in case of anything. And he had to be reminded by another neighbor that you don't use a hose in an electrical fire, because that is definitely when it would have been detrimental.
The ashes and dust to dust.
That's right. Thankfully, there was no fire. But, you know, it was a serious situation for which the Barbados Fire Service would have had to be called, you know.
In terms of our response to electrical pole fires, you will recognize that when we get there, once there is electricity, we do not put water.
Right.
We always wait until the Barbados Light and Power Company arrive on scene to turn off the electricity in that particular area so that you can do what you're supposed to do.
Right.
We don't even take that chance. So I don't see you as an untrained individual where you would be willing to put yourself in that kind of danger.
Right.
It doesn't make sense at that point in time. You're not trained to do it. No.
The thing is, it would have just been like a reaction. Fire, water, you know?
Yeah, and people water. Have that reaction.
Exactly. So it's best to have that over and over. Listen, know what to do in an emergency before the emergency occurs.
That's why we have to do pre-planning as well, because it is not every fire that we attend that we can put water on. There are certain chemicals that if water gets mixed with the, it reacts so violent, you won't know what's really going on. So yes. No, even within our domain, we have to know what it is that we are dealing with. And then if you're unsure, you have to find someone who knows the layout or what's inside the building so that they can give you a brief of what's going on. We have a book that we keep inside our control room, which is our hazardous materials book. Yeah. Right. And you said emergency. Well, our hazardous material book. And if we're unsure, we have to get persons to feed, you know what? All right, this is the response. You're not supposed to use water, evacuate persons, upwind, whatever the distance is. So it's not just a case of reacting on the right thing. Clearly not.
There was a time when you mentioned it that I went to a full fire. And when we got there, one of the neighbors said, yeah, we out there, we use the hose. And I was like, you guys are very lucky.
Wow.
Yeah, it was just, I guess it wasn't their time because they said
it wasn't their time.
I like that.
Wow.
I said it. I was like, y'all didn't watch. Okay.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That is really something. So to all who are listening, please do not apply water to an electrical fire. Thankfully, in that case, the cable actually, it burst. It pulled away from the pole. So thankfully in that case, but you know, just to remind people so that we can have this riveted in.
Right. Anybody who ever called 311 for an emergency, especially if it's something burning, you would hear the control room attendant ask you what is burning. And one of the reasons that we want to know what's burning, because it gives us an idea how we are going to deal or how we're going to tackle this whatever incident, even before we get to the incident. You understand? And sometimes callers get a little agitated. Why you want all this information? Why this important? Oh, the God of fire, just come. But it is important sometimes that we know certain things. Things like the address of this fire. Because at the end of the day, if we don't know where we're sending the truck, it's no help.
Right.
So all of these little things, although they may seem, you know, far-fetched, though it may seem like it's taking up too much time, every piece of information that you're giving to that control room attendant is vital information. And you will find that some control room attendants will pray a little more, ask a little more questions, you know. Give me a landmark. This is near where, near Starcom, near where, you know. What is it that is burning? Can you see what is burning? That kind of stuff. All of these little bits of information can be helpful to the firefighter as we may orient to the scene so that the control room attendant can say, well, look, guys, please be aware that so-and-so is the case so that we know what to expect when we get there.
Yes,
any additional hazards
situation, because sometimes you're not cognizant of it yourself. But what if when we come there, all right, there's some sort of chemical that's burning? You may be located next to a processing plant, a warehouse, or something like that. They have chemicals within there. Those chemicals are burning. Officers come in blind, not knowing what is burning, and then they become statistics.
Yeah,
they can actually go in there without the proper PPE, personal protective equipment, and they become the ones that may be rescuing now.
Yes,
so
yeah.
That's why we ask you to paint a picture for us. We need to understand what it is that we're going to, what it is that we're getting into, so that we can give the best possible service that we can. Yeah. When you ask us to go in blind, we don't know, or when we're asking questions, because we need to know, we have to paint that picture for the crew that will be responding. They have to know what is going on. Yeah. It doesn't make sense sending them and that's, you know, you see six people down on the ground lying down and they're going in all fast, I mean, hot and sweaty because they want to help without recognizing what is going on. They probably end up making what? There are six people on the ground, say they had four or five people on the truck. You have no, what, 10 or 11 bodies now to deal with. For us, it gives us information. How do we pass off the other information to the other crew that is coming in to assist? So it is, I mean, it may sound like a lot of information. It may seem like we're taking, but if firefighting was just a simple, easy task, we would just say, you know what, just send in your resume. We hire you on the spot. It has to be a calling. There is a lots of training that goes into it. You always have to be keeping abreast of what is going on with there. So we need to know. And the only way that we can know is, again, apart from doing our own planning and whatever else, sometimes you try to do that, but persons go there and persons do their own thing still. Or persons will say to you, well, they only have such and such, because what, inspections are annual. who knows what else you brought in since they did your inspection.
Yes.
So you always have to be on the ball. And if being on the ball is you call a report, oh, I see six blue drums and they had on this thing and look, they give information. Then when we do our investigations, we find out what it is. If it is something that's okay, fine. If it is something that we have to treat differently, we have to get things put in place for, then we do that. But remember, all of these things can have a negative effect on you if it is something that is dangerous or harmful, especially if it goes downwind. Again, you just heard me talk about the hazardous material book that we have. Jason correctly identified it as the emergency response guidebook. But telling you that, it doesn't tell you anything. It tells us, it names all these different chemicals and how we're supposed to treat them. But we've given this such, I don't know, it was such fruitful information, lots of information. We're going to give persons time to digest that so that I can talk about my favorite thing that happened last week.
Congratulations to the Barbados Fire Service. Oh, my word, on the wonderful launch of
Benny the Fire Safety Cat. So yes, it has been a project that has been in the works for a number of years. It wasn't just a get up and go like that. The idea was formed. We had to get a person to write the script, which was none other than my favorite LF right now, Andrew Taylor. I mean, of course, the persons at the Media Resource Department, I have to say a big thank you. Persons like Mr. Lowe Berkeley, Lowe, the Chief Resource Officer. We have Charmaine Seal. We also had Kendra Haynes, who did the graphics. His daughter, I can't remember her first name, but she's also Haynes.
Yes, she's with K2. I can't remember the name.
The voiceover.
Yes.
Listen, I'm here blushing. I'm black and blushing. That was, I mean, to see it come to the end, to see the completed project, all hands on boards, the officers who came from Media Resource again and did the videos and everything. I mean, listen, you see Charmaine? Charmaine is a sinker for the English language. Yes. Don't mispronounce a word in her presence.
Very good. Very
I am telling you.
Definitely.
And of course, we have the voice of Benny, none other than... I mean, we get figured out one of these days. But that officer, I'm telling you, kudos to that officer.
Kudos to that officer.
Benny.
Yes, very good.
He can't retire.
Listen, I'm looking forward to what's in store for Benny the Firecat, you know, to see what's going to be happening from here on. Kudos to all of you on this great project. And to the Ministry of Education and BGIS as well on the part that they would have played. And, you know, we just look forward to hearing so much more about Benny, so much more about Benny. And it was interesting to hear the history as well. So where can people find out more about Benny?
All right, so right now the video is on YouTube and there's also Facebook. We were just giving it a couple weeks and then we're actually... I think you can also check the fire service site, fireservice.gov.bb. You should be able to find it on our website as well. But we're just trying to get it to just send it out there as much as possible. Persons with the video, just forward it to your friends as well, especially if you know teachers. I think the young at heart also are loving it. We have the children themselves who absolutely adore it. My friend was saying to me, every time it finished, her baby took her hand to send it back.
Oh, that's great. That's fantastic. That's so good.
I think we definitely have succeeded there.
That's good. So kudos to you, and we look forward to hearing more about Benny the Firecat. And
I tell Andrew Taylor that to start working, writing his fingers off.
Yes. I said, you shouldn't start what you can't stop.
Yeah, I agree.
Kudos. Fantastic. So remember to log on to YouTube or to Facebook. And I'm sure by now you could just type in Benny the Firecat.
Safety Cat or Benny the Firecat.
Yes. Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. And we're looking forward to hearing more about Benny in the weeks to come. And believe it or not, that's a wrap for today's 311 radio show here on VOB 92.9 FM. sometimes good things have to come to an end.
I need to half an hour now.
Again.
We could do a part two next week. But thank you very much, Senior Fire and Life Safety Officer Natasha Ford and Fire and Life Safety Officer Jason Collins, for sharing with us today.
You're welcome. Thank you, and you're most welcome.
And I'm Krista J. Paul. Remember, you can always log on to vob929.com to listen to the podcast. And this video recording will be posted on VOB92.9 FM's Facebook page. God bless and have a wonderful week. And remember,
fire prevention is our intention.
All right.
Bye-bye.
On the Barbados Fire Service 311.